We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
Thank you for coming to Metro Church. Thank you for coming, and here's what you got. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. God's got just really wants to speak to us today. But before I even give you the title of the message, we're just going to pray again. Can you handle that?
Yeah.
Can you handle that? Okay. Here we go. Father, thank you for your word and your message. God, we just pray that you open our ears to hear, our hearts to receive. And God, we pray that we would just be filled and more revelation would come to us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you are here and streaming, well, you're not here if you're streaming, but if you are streaming, welcome to Metro Church. Welcome to our service. We're glad you could come. We would love to actually have you in person, but hey, welcome and enjoy our service. So I'm going to talk today about a title called Be Aware of the Snare. Be Aware of the Snare. You like the artwork? I did not do it, and I don't do artwork. There's a certain reason for that. I'm often told I make a great scientist. And hence, that's a really nice way of saying that. Be aware of the snare. Now, we're a Christian. You're a Christian. I'm a Christian. Some people are, some people aren't. But let's say we're a Christian, but yet we still blow it at times. Yes? We want to do right. But sometimes this doesn't turn out that way. Or we are thinking, God, this is going to be great. We're going to have a great day today. And all of a sudden, the day gets sidetracked. Or the train comes off the rails because something happened and we got sucked into the situation and we didn't act so pretty. Let's say that, how do I, God, walk this out? How do I practically live this? How do I, day to day, in and out, morning, noon, night, Monday through Sunday, work all of this? How do I live this life? How do I practically go through all of this stuff that life involves and come out successful? How do I, God, stay on your paths? How do I stay on your works? You know, in one part of the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, we're going to be getting into that. It talks about paths. And when it says paths, it gives the impression of paths that were worn in by a wagon due to consistent travel. And the Bible talks about us walking in God's ways or in the ways of wisdom, in those ways where there is consistent travel. So you ever see like where wagons go? I know. I know what year we're in. I hear you. But just imagine. That the, you know, wagon track, when you have a place where like a cart goes all the time or wagons or even a path in the field where people are walking all the time, it's kind of everything's level and then there's a little droop, and that's where everybody always goes. And so there are these paths that are laid out for us in God's word that are traveled by many over the centuries that have resulted in success, that have resulted in us coming out on top and not below. Paths that have been laid by all great men and women of God. We read it through the Bible. Paths that have been laid by those who have been experienced in tribulation and trials and temptations and have come out successfully. And there are those paths that are worn in that we should be walking down. And so going day to day, God, how do I walk on that path? How do I stay on these tracks instead of jumping over here? Or what if somebody comes up and gives me a big nudge and knocks me off those tracks? How do I get back on, God? I'm a believer. I want to follow your ways, but I keep blowing it. I sin. I lose. I give in. I don't know what to do when this situation comes in front of me. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know how I should act. I don't even know how I got here. So how do we practically do this? How do we live this day by day? Everything's going great around you. You're at church on Sunday. Awesome. You know, you get done with Ignited on Wednesday, you're done with Revolve, everything's great. Next day comes, the morning's kind of good. You go through the day at work or school, wherever you are, and then, you know, by about 3 o'clock, it gets a little shaky. You know, you get home, and if you're a parent, you know, the kids are a little tired. You know what I mean, right? A little tired, little touchy, and you're just kind of like, and then night comes, and you're like, boy, what a day. What happened to God? What happened to me? Why am I now Mr. Grumpy? As opposed to got done with church on Sunday, I was like, yes. Monday night, no. But how do I walk through? How do I do this? I want to start out by looking at a scripture in Romans 6 that kind of lays a basic foundation to what I really want to get to in the message. And this is Romans 6, verses 5 and 6. And it says this, for if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, that is the death of Jesus, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, the old man being that self that existed before you got saved, that old person, we get saved, we get renewed, we get born again, as the Bible says, we're made a new man, a new person, a new woman. We're just made right. This old man is that was before. That way that would say, well, all I know to do is sin, and all I know to do is lie, and all I know to do is steal, and all I know to do is gossip, and all I know to do is drink, and all I know to do is... So that old man has been taken away. So it says, knowing this, that the old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with or actually rendered inoperative. So the body of sin is not destroyed, it's just rendered inoperative, which is a more accurate translation, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. No longer slaves of sin. So the Bible doesn't say that sin disappears when you become a Christian. And the Bible doesn't say when we get saved that that body of sin, that part that just wants to, give me more sin, that part just poof goes away and all of a sudden it's perfect. But it does say we're not a slave to it. Yes. In other words, it doesn't direct us. Yes. It doesn't guide us. It is not that which determines what we're going to do. Right. In fact, we can actually say no.
Yeah.
We can actually make the decision ourselves instead of allowing the body of sin or sin to enslave us. That's what it means to be enslaved, right? Enslaved means it decides you act. It decides you do it. But now that we are no longer made slaves of that, it may decide, but I ain't going to do it. Right? I'm not going that way. I don't care what you say. You're not my master anymore. You know, as Christians, we do sin. You know, in 1 John 1:9, it says this, if we confess our sins, the only way that we can confess our sins is if we sin. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So there is a promise that we have that if we do sin, that he will cleanse us of it. But that scripture in and of itself says, hey, we do sin. Hey, there is temptation out there and we give into it. But God, how do I get control of this? How can I, I think of the word practical. What's a practical way to do it? God, how do I direct my life? Is there a way for me to preempt this? Is there a way for me to take a little detour so I don't run off course? Or in other words, that I don't run over the end of the bridge? Is there a way for me to stay on that path that we were talking about, that worn-in path that's been worn in by the men and women of God, that I can stay on that won't get me off track? How do I know what's coming around the turn? God, what if someone asks me to do this? Should I do it? Should I go there with them? Should I play? Should I hang out with them? Should I go over and do this? We need some wisdom. We need some wisdom on how to live life. just the day in and day out how to live life. And that's what I really want to talk to you about today is how do we live, how do we be aware of the snare? How can we know, go that way, you'll be trapped. Don't do that because there's something around the corner that's going to get you. Now, we have God's Spirit in us. We have the gifts of the Spirit, the word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. God, you know, those things are for you to make it successfully in life, by the way. And those things can be used on that Monday afternoon when you're not feeling so good. Or when you're sliding, saying, God, I need a word of God. I need to hear something from you to keep me from falling this way. Or when those friends are just saying, don't worry. It'll be fine. Just come on. God, I need to know I can't go that way. And I need strength to say no. Sometimes it takes strength to say no, doesn't it? It's easy to say, yeah, that's fine, that's fine. Because you don't rock the boat, right? You say no, they'll be like, what are you talking about? You know, I'm insulted. Well, I'm not going to do that. I don't live that way. So I've got some points that I want to cover that I want to walk through in Proverbs 1 and Proverbs 2, not the whole chapters. And first is, don't get yourself into a bad situation. Right. Don't get yourself into a bad situation. Proverbs 1:10 says this. My son, I'll go over on the screen. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Pretty simple. My son, now when God talks to us, he talks out of relationship. He just doesn't say, hey, you, don't do what they tell you to do. My son. My daughter, listen to me. Listen, I want to give you, I want to tell you something. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. That's a pretty simple statement, short, but pretty powerful. That will save us right there. That will save us from a lot of headaches. Now, the verb entice means to be open or spacious or wide. In other words, it can relate to someone who's immature or simple-minded. I had one friend define simple-minded as knucklehead, but that's okay. And might relate to the immature or simple one who is open to all kinds of enticement and never able to discriminate between right and wrong. Discriminate, to judge. You know, we can judge. We judge between right and wrong. We judge between true and false. And so when it talks about if sinners entice you, it's those who can't discriminate between right and wrong that get pulled into this. And we don't need to be those people. We don't need to be so simple-minded that, oh, yeah, John said go, so I'm going to go. I'll just do whatever they say. You know, that word entice is the same word, the same verb that they used when talking about Samson and Delilah, how Delilah enticed Samson, and Samson fell for it because he was simple-minded. He didn't have the Spirit of God living in him like we do. He didn't have the gifts of the Spirit. He didn't have the spirit of wisdom and revelation as Paul prays for the Ephesians, you know, that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him and on and on. But we have that. We don't need to be simple-minded about issues of life. We don't need to be, oh, well, whatever comes, comes, and whatever goes, goes. Selah, you know, it's just let it happen. Let me read it to you out of another translation, the Passion Translation, Proverbs 1:10 says this, when peer pressure compels you to go with the crowd, oh, wonderful peer pressure. Now, I've got a few years beyond high school, I am. Just a few. And you know, as you get older, the peer pressure just doesn't seem to be as bad because you kind of at times just say, I just don't care what you think. But peer pressure is a big thing. You know, with all the social media going on and pressuring you just by, you know, whatever they post, their posts can pressure you, right? You're not going to share that? You're not going to like that? You didn't like my post? Peer pressure can compel us to do things we shouldn't do. But the Bible says this, back to Proverbs 1:10, when peer pressure compels you to go with the crowd and sinners invite you to join in, just simply say, what's that word?
No.
No. Simply say no. Sometimes at work, there's peer pressure. Aren't you, you know, you're I don't know, getting a coffee over in the little coffee place. And there's about six people and they're just jabbing, gabbing, talking, backstabbing, gossiping. And you just want a cup of coffee. You're like, God, I got to go in stealth. I just want to get a cup of coffee and I don't want to get sucked into this. You know, and you go in and, hey, what'd you think about that? I didn't. See ya. You know, and they're talking about some topic and you just don't want to get engaged in it. Just, I got to get back to work. I get back to what I'm doing. I don't want to engage in this gossip. I don't want to engage in the way you're talking about these people. I don't want to engage in your tirade right now. So we need to refuse to go the way that they go. It's a lot easier to say no if we stay away than if we wait till the pressure comes. You know, when we're in the midst of it and there's all this pressure building on us, it's kind of hard to say no at times, but we've got the strength of God to do that. But if we're wise and we keep away from the situation, it's a lot easier to say no. Second point is, see the trap. See the trap. I was talking about, you know, God, what's around this corner? Trap. Don't go that way. God, what if I step over here? There's a trap. Don't go that way. Here's what the book of Proverbs says. Again, we're in Proverbs 1. We're going to verse 11 now. When the gang says, I love it. But mom, the gang said, the gang didn't raise you, boy, and the gang didn't bring you into this earth. When the gang says, we're going to steal and kill and get away with it. We'll take down the rich and rob them. We'll swallow them up alive. Yeah, right. Come on, guys. Then we'll take their treasures and fill our houses with loot, much money. You're going to get rich if you do this. Then come on. So come and join us. I mean, that sounds so good. We're going to fool them. No one's going to figure us out because we're smarter than anybody else. Because people have been doing that for the last 50 years, but you didn't know that. And so I'm just going to do this because look what he said. He said this would really work out. We'll divide up all we get. We each end up with big bags of cash. Five of us are out there. We're going to split it up five ways. Oh, yeah, really honest guy, right? My son, relationship again, right? God's saying, look, blah, 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 this is going on, it's going on. My son, my daughter, refuse to go with them and stay far away from them. Don't think that you're so strong that you can just go in the middle of it and show them your spiritual muscles. It's not going to work. If you've been delivered from alcoholism, don't go to the bar. But my friends need to get saved. Yes, they do. But you're not going to the bar to do it because it's not going to work. You're not letting God down. God knows, and he knows if you go in there, there's no way you're coming out sober. So don't go. Stay away from them. Refuse to go with them and stay far away from them, for crime is their way of life and bloodshed their specialty. To be aware of their snare, hence the title of the sermon, very scriptural title, by the way, just to let you know. To be aware of their snare is the best way to escape. Not some type of, I'm going to muscle my way through it. I'm going to grit my teeth and I'm going to survive, even if it's by, you know, the hair on my chin, 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 whatever. You know, if it doesn't matter, I'm going to do this. I can do this. I can't. I'll just make my way. No, look, the best way is to avoid it. Yeah. Avoid the snare. That's what the Bible says is the best way to escape. Another translation, though, the Holman Christian Bible puts it this way. It is foolish to spread a net where any bird can see it. That's a little bit more literal translation. It's a proverb. Come on, give me a break, right? You know, it's a proverb. He's not going to just like open it up to you, right? Proverb. That's why they call it Proverbs, you know? It is foolish to spread a net where any bird can see it. What do birds have to do with this? Basically, birds who see a trap being set do not fall into it. For example, Tia. Digging this hole here, Tia. Okay? Shh. Digging this hole, putting a cover over it, making it look like it's nice grass. Why don't you walk over this way? Come on! How'd she know? Birds who see a trap being set do not fall into it. When we have God's Spirit in us, when we have him in us, it's like that. He will check us, I guess is one way to put it. You know, the Spirit of God, you feel kind of like, whoop, hold on. You feel like the stop sign comes up, yeah, right? Good. You know, you're walking this way, and all of a sudden, oh, what's that stop sign doing? Oh, it's not supposed to be there, or whatever. Then it's a bigger stop. You know, it's like, stop. And then it's a bigger stop sign. Stop. Then it's a bigger stop sign. Would you stop? Oh, sorry, God, I didn't hear you. But that's what it's like, God, that we have God's Spirit inside of us that says, hey, look, I know what's happening, and listen to what I'm telling you. Yeah, good. Walk in the ways I'm directing you to walk. Go down those pathways, those paths that have been worn in by men and women of God, by the prophets, by the apostles, by those who have experienced the ups and the downs in life, but have come out successful. Those are the paths you want to walk. Those are the ways that you want to go. Not down this divergent path that looks kind of nice, but I tell you what, there is a trap there. For sure, there is a trap there. Don't go that way. We need to be aware of the snare and know where things will lead before they get started. Know where they lead before they get started. So how do we know this? We know this through God's Spirit. Remember to get word of knowledge, word of wisdom, God leading us, good counsel. Oh, good counsel. Good counsel is a good one because it's good counsel. But good counsel. Like, you've been this way before. Yeah, 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 I've been that way before. I would not go there. I would not do that. Or not even, they don't necessarily need to have been that way, but they may know. Hey, I know what's going to happen if you do this. I know you. And if you do that, it's not going to be pretty. Can you imagine we make one mistake? Or not, don't let me put it that way. We make a bad decision. We make the wrong choice because we're not following either good counsel or what God's word says, or what's going on inside here by God's spirit. We make one mistake, and then it takes us 3 days to fix it. So there's 4 days of your life. One day, the mistake because we didn't listen, and 3 days to fix the thing, right? And you could have spent those 4 days doing something productive and great. Except you spent three of them fixing the problem, the first one causing the problem. But yeah, we can be safe from that. We've got the Spirit of God in us. We've got the wisdom. We've got his insight. Point number three, God gives wisdom. God gives wisdom. And this is out of Proverbs chapter 2. And we're starting in the sixth verse. Wisdom is a gift from a generous God. Thank you, Lord. Wisdom is a gift from a generous God. Every word he speaks is full of revelation and becomes a fountain of understanding within you. For the Lord has a hidden storehouse of wisdom made accessible to his godly lovers. We have a storehouse. We have a treasure that's available to us because we believe. There is some understanding, some wisdom that the world does not have. And so, guess what? Because we've got some wisdom from God, because he stores it up for those who follow him, whoever follows him, we've got a perspective on things that the world doesn't have. And we can see things that they don't see. So it says, then you will discover, for the Lord has a hidden storehouse of wisdom made accessible for his godly lovers. He becomes your personal bodyguard as you follow his ways, protecting and guarding as you choose what is right. He doesn't cram it down your throat. He doesn't say, take this, would you? We've got a choice. But if we follow his ways, we can make the right choice and we can choose the right way. Then you will discover what is all that is just, proper, and fair, and be empowered to make the right decisions as you walk into your destiny. Let me read verse 9 in a different translation because there's some words in there that are really important for us to understand. In the New King James Version, on verse 2, it says this, then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. Now, these words, I can remember the first time reading Proverbs. What on earth? Equity. Equity. What's God, how do I understand this? Understanding equity, righteousness, justice. Oh, boy. Then you will understand. So understanding, to understand something means to be able to know how to apply the knowledge you have. It's one thing to gather data. I know this, and I know that, and I know this, and I know that. But to be able to take what you know now and be able to use it. We need understanding on what we know so that we can properly use it. So he will give, then you will understand righteousness. Now righteousness, you know, that's a moral thing here in Proverbs. And you know, the way the world measures moral stuff these days, it's kind of like this, right? It's kind of like all over the place because they don't have a standard. Morality has a standard, and that standard is God's word. And that's how we measure what's morally right and what's morally wrong. And without that standard, there really is no moral. I mean, morality is based on an absolute, by the way, and that absolute is God's truth. But without any type of absolute like the world has, there's really no measure of morality. It's just what I think is right and what you think is right and what we think is right. So the word of God says, then you will, because if we get this wisdom from God, we will be able to know what is right and what is wrong. equity. Equity means to, it really means to make even judgments. You know, not biased, not discriminatory, not favoring one person over another because of some social status or anything like that. It means even judgments is what equity literally means. An even judge. We will know what's a right judgment. Well, wait a minute, that really wasn't fair, the way you judge that, or the way you decided how that was going to come out. That really wasn't fair because of this and this and this. And you know what? Hey, sometimes we don't see those things and we think it's fair, and then someone comes up and says, by the way, did you realize this? Oh, God, okay, well, help me see this, Lord, so I can actually make an even judgment here. An even judgment. And then the path, again, this is a good path, and this is the path I was talking about, the ones worn out by wagon tracks. Last time I drove a wagon, I don't remember. So we're going to hop back to Proverbs 2 in this Passion Translation, because we're going to go on from verse 9. It says, so when wisdom wins your heart and revelation breaks in, true pleasure enters your soul. If you choose to follow good counsel, if you choose, there's choose again, divine design will watch over you and understanding will protect you from making poor choices. It, oh, this is a good one. This is what God, this, cash in on this one, all right? Cash in on this. It will rescue you from evil in disguise. Yeah. Didn't see that, did you? Evil in disguise. And from those who speak duplicity. You know, it's out of both sides of their mouth. You know, people who talk out of both sides of their mouth. Yeah, this will be great. This will be great. We got this sucker. Oh, no, no, it's good. You're going to make lots of money. We are going to rob this guy. You know, right? These duplicities, as they talk about, right? So, It will rescue you. I'm cashing in on this one, Lord. It will rescue you from evil in disguise and from those who speak duplicities. How about that? How about that guy, girls, who come up? Oh, he's so sensitive. He just says really nice things to me all the time. I'm sorry, excuse me. Excuse me. You know, and I mean, this is like it is like from evil in disguise, right? Or guys, oh man, she dresses, ooh, and you should see that, and she's paying a lot of attention to me. Yeah, run the other way. The last one. Grace to help. Point number four, grace to help. And this is Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Let me preempt this with this. Thank you for putting that scripture up. And then they're going to take it down. And they're going to, that's okay. I'm keeping them awake back there. Got to keep them moving. Got to keep the multimedia guys alive and working. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you. They better. I'll be in big trouble. We all have weaknesses. We all have places in us where we are not strong. And you know what? God isn't upset about that. For us to pretend that we don't have a weakness is really lying. And to say, well, I'm not going to tell God about that weakness. He already knows. And don't worry. God's not upset at you because you have a weakness. He knows your weaknesses. Let me read Hebrews 4. Seeing then that we have a great priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. I'll talk about confession in a second. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Me, God, I have a weakness? Yo, God, look at me, I'm solid. You're weak. We've all got some type of weakness, some type of area in our life that we just cannot be victorious without his help. There is some part, you know, I'm very susceptible to that. Well, then that's a weakness. I can be taken in by that really easily. Well, then that's a weakness. But God's not mad at you if you have one. He was tempted, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. No more sin. Tempted every way we were, but without sin. Did you know you could be tempted without sinning? Tempted every way we were, Jesus was. He understands our weaknesses. He's sympathetic toward them. He sympathizes. He doesn't give you a hard time. Look, would you stand on your two feet and be strong? It's not like that. It's like, okay, I know that weakness. I can help you. I'll protect you. I'll keep you. I'll guide you. Don't pretend it's not a weakness. Don't pretend. Because if you pretend it's a weakness, then you're in big trouble. If you pretend it's not a weakness, then you're in big trouble because I can do that. I can do the, no, you can't. You drown, you know, you go down. There's one part in the scripture where it says, seeing then that we all have a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. I just want to say confession there means an expression of allegiance as an action. In other words, expressing our allegiance to the gospel, our allegiance to Christ, our allegiance to the word of God through what we do. Allegiance by action. By what we do, we demonstrate our allegiance to the word of God. So let me finish up with this. Let me say that living life can get tough. Do you all agree? Living life can have its challenges. It can have these points. But there are some challenges, some difficulties that we need not face if we had some wisdom. That if we watched out where we walked, if we had God leading us and directing us and leading us, that we would save ourselves from some headaches. But to be able to do that, we need to have Him inside of us. Right, we need to have His Spirit inside of us. We need to have His power inside of us. In other words, we need Jesus. And what I want to say to you today is that you may be here thinking or wanting or desiring, hey, I need that help. I need to be able to make these. I've made a lot of bad choices in my life, and I need to stop doing that. Well, what I can say is you need Jesus. Right? You need Him in there to change you, to give you new life, to give you a new man so that you're no longer enslaved to sin, so you can say no to sin, so you can say no to the wrong things, so you can walk down the good path and the right path.
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.